Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 22nd day of November 2022. I would like to start the program off with a prayer request. The father of the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s was in a very serious automobile accident last evening. He is in critical condition. He is unconscious right now in the hospital. Surgery is required on his spine, and there may be other very serious procedures that need to be conducted by the physicians there at the hospital, procedures of which I have not yet been informed about, but that is all the information I have right now. His name is Bob. And I believe he is in his 80s. So if you would please pray for Bob, the father of the woman who led me to Christ. And I would appreciate that very much. And I know that my friend Susan and her family would appreciate that very much as well. Today we have a returning guest, William C. Nichols, founder of International Outreach. And today we're going to be addressing five marks of a false prophet, gleaning from a vital sermon by 20th century fundamentalist preacher of God's sovereign grace, Rolf Barnard. That's the first hour of the program. And in the second hour, we're going to be joined by my dear old friend and my first pastor as a born-again believer, Michael A. Gadosh, founder of Solid Ground Christian Books. And he's going to be addressing Christian book recommendations for your Christmas list. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, William C. Nichols.
Good to be back with you on the radio. I appreciate the opportunity and hope that people will benefit spiritually by our discussion this hour.
Great. And tell our listeners, for the sake of those who have not yet heard you on this broadcast and may be unfamiliar with International Outreach, tell us about that ministry.
Well, it started as a me doing Bible studies with international students here at Iowa State University, and it really developed from there into a publishing ministry, and now it is a that is primarily what I do, is publish tracts and books primarily from the 1600s and 1700s, some in the 1800s. And so we have a number of different authors like Jonathan Edwards, Anthony Burgess, William Gearing, a number of different. A.W. Pink is probably our only 20th century author, but we do publish a couple of books by A.W. Pink as well. So we have a number of books, and people can see those on intoutreach.org.
intoutreach.org. And also, if anybody wants to listen to the last interview we had with William C. Nichols, you could go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com. ironsharpensironradio.com and type in William C. Nichols. And the interview that we conducted with him, which was on his book on Judas, will come up, and that was on September 21st, 2020. Can you tell us something about that book for the sake of our listeners who were not fortunate enough to hear that very fascinating interview on Judas?
Sure. I've long been fascinated with Judas Iscariot as a historical personage, obviously a Bible character, and just wanted for years to write a book about Judas, because as I looked around the landscape of what was really out there, most of the books I saw were apologetics for Judas. In other words, he really was trying to do a good thing, and he was trying to bring about the kingdom of God, just trying to rush it, hurry it along a little, but he wasn't a bad person. But the book I wrote reflects a different side of Judas than that. Some of the chapters in the book, and it's called Judas Iscariot, Traitor, the title, are Judas the Apostle, the Unregenerate Heart, Judas the Covetous Hypocrite, Judas the Traitor, Judas the Son of Perdition, Judas and Sovereignty, the Repentance of Judas Iscariot, the Suicide of Judas Iscariot, and Learning from the Life and Death of Judas Iscariot.
Great. Well, if anybody wants to order that book, you can go to that website that William Nichols mentioned before. It is intoutreach.org, which is an abbreviation for International Outreach. And there is one comment by Jesus Christ himself that should have dispelled all the myths portraying a more favorable understanding of Judas, is when Jesus said it would have been better for him if he was never born.
Yes, and one of you is a devil as well.
Yes, that's right. Can't get any lower than that. But
that's pretty clear.
Today we are addressing a sermon by a fascinating man from the 20th century. Although you do not have any books published by Rolf Barnard, you have produced a CD of the sermon we're discussing, and that's Five Marks of a False Prophet. Rolf Barnard, a fascinating figure from our past century. He was born in 1904 and went home to be with the Lord in 1969 when I was 7 years old. And he was a fundamentalist preacher, quite a fiery fundamentalist preacher, who fell out of good standing with his fellow fundamentalists, or many of them anyway, when he became a believer in the doctrines of sovereign grace. And from what I understand, he was also a convert to Christ later in life. Is that not the case?
Actually, in college, he went to a Baptist college. And in that college, he formed an infidel club. And he did what he could to persuade other fellow students to become infidels. And over 300 students joined his infidel club. He was raised in a Christian home, good godly parents. But he said, after he formed the infidel club, he said during the day he would blaspheme God publicly. At night, he'd go home and beg God to save him. So he was living a very, maybe, troubled or tortured lifestyle. He tried to put a good face on things on campus. He was a popular person on campus. He was a good debater, a very gifted public speaker, and wanted to be a lawyer. But he kept begging God at night to save him, and God did save him. So he came to Christ in his probably early 20s or 20, 21, 22, in that range. I would say probably 20 or 21 years of age. And then God used him mightily thereafter in many different places, many different churches. And he did say one of his greatest regrets was that he was responsible for Lady Mitt Hell, who had joined an infidel club.
Wow. Well, quite a powerful preacher, as I said. You can hear the sermons of Rolf Barnard at sermonaudio.com, and just type in the search engine R-O-L, F as in Frank, E, B as in boy, A-R, N as in Nancy, A-R-D, Rolf Barnard, and there are quite a number of sermons by him. And if you love fiery preaching, which I do, you will be indeed edified, especially since it is thoroughly biblical preaching, which is the primary reason that Rolf Barnard was such a great man of God. And today we are addressing, as I've already said, a sermon that is quite chilling, five marks of a false prophet, because some listening might immediately think that Brother Barnard was referring to cult leaders, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the extreme bizarre wing of the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement. We could go on and on with different descriptions that rightly identify some who are false prophets, even men who have been quite overtly and openly evil and clearly identified as satanic and so on. But this is not the case with this sermon. The reason why this sermon is quite chilling is if you listen to it and if you hear us discuss it, you're going to immediately recognize that probably the vast majority of modern evangelical preachers, and that would not only include pastors behind pulpits, but those who are radio and television evangelists and authors and so on, would fall under the category of a false prophet the way Brother Barnard is identifying them. And of course, his list of five marks is not an exhaustive list, and it does not include everybody that should be identified as a false prophet, but it is indeed an important list and all too familiar to our ears. Is this not correct, my brother?
Yes, in fact, there's an important distinction that needs to be made early on, and that Barnard makes, and that is that a false prophet is not necessarily an evil prophet. In the Bible, we have people who are evil prophets, but in his definition of a false prophet, might be a very nice fellow.
Yes.
He might be very earnest and sincere. He might seem to have a great passion for souls, and he might seem to want people to get saved and really be out there talking about getting more people saved. But the message he preaches is not an accurate message.
Yes, in fact, he says, Rolf Barnard said, that half-truths can be more dangerous than total outright lies, because half-truths are quite more easy to swallow.
Yes. And now we have, like I say, when we're talking about evil prophets, they're satanically inspired. They're malicious. They deliberately try to turn people toward evil. That's not the case in the way he's defining a false prophet here. These are people that might preach in the church right down the road from you. And certainly there are people who are on TV all the time, as you mentioned. So, in getting into this, I'll read one of his more striking quotes from the sermon. that I heard a preacher over the radio today telling the sinners to pray the sinner's prayer. And he guaranteed that he would be saved. Now, that is a lie of hell. It comes from the lips of a false prophet. He may be a nice fellow and be very sincere, but he knows nothing about the way God brings sinners to himself. The reason he doesn't know is because he doesn't know the Lord. Has never been brought to salvation in Christ. If sin is damning its thousands, religion today is damning its tens of thousands.
Now, would you say, because I heard that quote, because I listened to the sermon and a shudder went through me, would you say that the key phrase in Brother Barnard's description there was a promise, a certain promise of eternal life to someone who recites such a prayer? Because there have been many, there are even Reformed people who have led people who have claimed to be lost through a prayer where the sinner is asking Christ to come into their lives and so on. And I wouldn't put them under the category of a false prophet. But the difference is there are some, much to the anger of our Lord, because it leads to the damnation of many deceived people, is when a promise is given. If you recite this prayer, if you say these words, if you repeat these words, you will definitely be saved and will have no fear of hell. That's when it becomes something, even if it's unconsciously, diabolical.
Yes, and I think far too many people are led in prayers that don't even know what they're doing and don't even understand the majesty of God, the glory of God, don't understand their own sin, and frankly don't have the least concept of their own sin, and yet all they're asked to do is say, I admit I'm a sinner. Well, biblical conviction of sin goes far deeper than admitting you're a sinner. And Thomas Hooker, one of the best writers on the windings and turnings of the soul in relation to salvation, and Hooker believed that deep conviction of sin and even humbling for sin was necessary in order to conversion. But certainly these people who have no concept of sin and yet go ahead and repeat the words of a prayer, how is it that they have repented? They don't even know what they've done in the first place.
Right. And so let's go through these five marks. Rolf Barnard started with the first mark of a false prophet being speaking peace to a sinner to whom God has not spoken peace. If you could expand upon that.
Sure. And again, it gets back to accepting a proposition instead of surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many people, as we've just talked about, that accept a proposition made by a pastor that if you do this, you will be saved. And a repeat after me, and then they say, you're saved. And that's just, Rolf Barnard calls that a proposition. In fact, he gives an illustration in the sermon that about Peter going to see Cornelius. And he says, gives this not accurate account, but it says, I'm the Apostle Peter. Are you Cornelius? Yes. Well, I want to know, Cornelius, if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, that didn't happen. But Barnard is using that as an example of what didn't happen when the apostles did evangelism. They didn't do what we do today. And but the issue in speaking peace to someone whom God has not spoken peace to is a very big issue today. It really is.
Yes, it is. And the second mark, we're going to have to go through these rather quickly because we only have an hour, and believe it or not, an hour goes by a lot more quickly than people might think on the radio, especially since we have a commercial break in the middle of that hour. But the second one is phrased in quite an unusual way by Brother Barnard, and he's gleaning from the Old Covenant, I believe. Men who heal the wounds of people lightly. If you could explain that.
I didn't hear you clearly, but what I have for the second mark is healing the wounds of people slightly.
Okay, yeah, I think he may have pronounced it two different ways in his sermon, but
yeah.
I could have been mishearing him the second time.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If a person lives to please, honor, and glorify himself, they aren't saved. And yet, how many people in the church today live to please, honor, and glorify themselves? Quite a few. This is where Barnard gets into the issue of breaking the sinner. He says, my lovely Lord, in order to conquer an old rebel, he crushes him to where he will bow to his blessed rule. And talks about humbling the sinner and wounding the sinner. That God has to crush and wound him. Don't heal the wounds of sinners slightly. Don't do it. Let the one who inflicts the wound. If the Lord doesn't wound you, you're going to hell. Again, a pretty direct statement there. But when we speak peace to people very quickly and without them, again, showing any conviction of sin, maybe not much of an understanding of who Jesus is, and not understanding the gospel other than they've been told that if they'll pray this prayer, God will forgive them and they'll go to heaven. And all of these marks kind of interrelate one to another, and they overlap in some cases, but by reading the entire sermon or listening to it, you get a clear picture of what he's talking about here. Really, the issue is when a profession of faith doesn't change the life, is that profession of faith any good?
Yes, one of the things that he mentioned during the sermon is the huge mistake many pastors, preachers, or even average Christians who are evangelizing a lost person. One of the huge mistakes they often make is that they are far too often coaching the lost person on how they should respond. They're putting words in the person's mouth, whereas we should be observers and hearers to see for ourselves and hear for ourselves how the actual sinner is responding to the gospel, not feeding him with answers that we want him to say. Am I right here?
Yeah. Another statement he makes there is don't tell a man what God has done for him.
Yes.
But that's what many times is done. Here's what God will do for you if you do 1, 2, 3. And then God will do 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's just you really, one, you're putting words in a person's mouth to begin with that they may or may not even believe. And certainly if there's no conviction of sin, they don't even understand it. And then they tell them, make promises to them about, now you're on your way to heaven. And, you prayed that sincerely, you're on the way to heaven. Well, how do you know what a person's heart is like? How do you know whether they didn't just pray it? I heard a story one time of a man who approached a pastor and asked the pastor to pray for his wife because his wife had cancer. And the pastor said he would do that, but he said, you know, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you can pray for your wife yourself. And he led the man in a little prayer there. And the man, and then he says, now you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, and you can pray for your wife and her cancer yourself now. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. But again, that's someone in extreme distress. They're upset about their wife. They're upset about their circumstances in life, and they're promised a cure all by repeating the words of a prayer.
Right. And we're going to our first break right now. And if you have a question for William C. Nichols about five marks of a false prophet, and as I said, we are gleaning from a vital sermon by 20th century fundamentalist preacher of sovereign grace, Rolf Barnard. If you have a question regarding this, or even a theological question about salvation, other pertinent and relevant biblical passage that you're having a problem with, send your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with William C. Nichols and Five Marks of a False Prophet right after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, that if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase from royaldiadem.com, whether you're purchasing a piece of jewelry that's already in stock there at the store, or if you're custom designing or having them custom design with your assistance a piece of jewelry for you, if it's a gift for Christmas or if it's an engagement ring or if it's turning your church or parachurch ministry logo into a ring or a pendant or some other piece of jewelry, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for a limited time, they have not told us the cutoff date yet, but for a limited time, they will give us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits. So please try to contact them as quickly as possible if especially you have any intention to purchase jewelry for somebody you love or yourself. Please go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible, royaldiadem.com, and tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with William C. Nichols, founder of International Outreach. We are addressing a vital sermon by 20th century fundamentalist preacher of God's sovereign grace, Rolf Barnard, titled Five Marks of a False Prophet. And if you have a question for Brother Nichols, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. We're now on the third mark of a false prophet, men who make the gate a lot easier to get into than the Lord did. If you can expound on that.
Yes, and one of the things he does in that section is quote from Luke 13:24, strive to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And the point he makes there is that when a false prophet makes the gate a lot easier than the Lord did, obviously, Jesus did not think it was easy to get into heaven. And Barnard says, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Well, that's my note. So basically, what he's getting at here is people are dead in trespasses and sins. They have a heart of stone, and they must be made a new creature in Christ or they will go to hell. He says, the Lord must make you willing to bow to his rule and reign. That old wicked hostility in your heart has got to come out, and you have to be made a willing captive of a blood-stained Jesus with his will central in your life. And that's what he emphasizes there, is man's deadness in sin, man's depravity, and the necessity of receiving a new heart. And he says you can't have this world in Christ too. One of them has got to go. And that's what Jesus very clearly taught as well.
Yes, and one thing I think we have to make clear is that Brother Barnard did not believe in making that statement, and neither of us believe that man must somehow labor and work to produce his or to merit his salvation. Salvation is all of the Lord. In fact, as I said in the outset when I identified Rolf Barnard, he was a fundamentalist preacher of God's sovereign grace, which actually put him at odds with many of his fellow fundamentalists when he embraced these precious truths, also known as Reformed theology and Calvinism. But we believe that salvation is 100% of the Lord. So we are not saying, and Brother Barnard was not saying, that there needs to be some kind of effort of any kind, let alone strenuous effort, in order to earn salvation. Am I right?
Talking about earning salvation, he's talking about seeking God.
Right.
And when a person seeks God, they should seek for conviction of sin. They should seek that God would change their heart. Rolf Barnard did much seeking. He would go home every night and beg God to change his heart, because he knew that what he was doing during the daytime and promoting atheism was wrong and wicked and evil. And yet he sought God through prayer and to change his heart, to convict him of his sins, to make him a new creature. That work is all done by God. but there's certainly nothing wrong with man begging God to save him.
Amen. And the fourth mark of a false prophet, which hinges on the third, is men who make the road to eternal life broader than God has made it. If you could expound on that.
Yes, and like I say, some of these overlap, and he gives illustrations here. Actually, at one point in his life, he worked in a that Bowery Mission in New York City. And he said that it was in the Bowery that Rolf saw the results of what sin can do in the life of a man, making his life a hell before he even gets there. He said that in the Bowery Mission, every bum wanted to accept Jesus Christ, and all would go forward in the public invitation time, and then later that same night, go out and get drunk and debased all over again. There was no real change. And that's kind of what he's getting at here, because he says, he uses this illustration actually twice, of a person who will stand up in church and say, "Now I know I'm saved, and I haven't been living right, but I'd like to start living right." And, you know, if that's a genuine thing, if that's really, really true, that a person has fallen into sin, there's nothing wrong with that statement. But he encountered this over and over and over again with people who weren't living right. And so he emphasizes in this section that daily exercise of faith, daily surrender to God, daily repentance, and walking the narrow way. In other words, living an obedient Christian life as part of the how a real Christian lives. And if a person is, accepting Jesus Christ over and over again and going out and getting drunk over and over again, there hasn't been any change.
Yeah, there's no difference from that, or little difference, I should say, from the Roman Catholic who believes they could live like the devil as long as they go to a confessional booth occasionally.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." A child of God wants to do the will of God. That's what his soul desires. And there are many people who say they're Christians who are Sunday Christians. You know, they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to change their lifestyles.
Amen. And the fifth and final mark that Brother Rolf Barnard includes in this sermon, and once again, Brother Barnard's sermon was not exhaustive of every mark of a false prophet, and it did not identify every single kind of a false prophet. He was mainly addressing false prophets that are regularly accepted as true prophets and teachers within the Christian church, even within Protestantism and even within evangelicalism, as being genuine, and it may even be the majority of, especially the most well-known evangelical preachers who possess some or all of these marks. But the final one that he offers in this sermon, the fifth, is men who offer salvation on cheaper terms than God does. If you can expound on that.
Yes, one of the things he talks about in this section of the sermon is repentance. And he says repentance and faith are the terms of salvation. And if there is no repentance, then there can be no faith. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so he emphasizes in this section genuine repentance and also that God is the one who has to change the heart. And this is what we talked about a little while ago. It's God who changes a person's heart. He shows a person how sinful they are. He shows them how they do not conform to his law. And he causes them to cry out for mercy. And so, again, in this section, he talks about living a godly life. It says he demands and his claims of his rule, his demands and his claims of his rule in your daily living. If it doesn't cause you to have tremendous experiences of repentance, then watch out. You know, if you're an unrepentant person, then certainly repentance is clearly taught in the scriptures. And living an obedient and godly life is clearly taught. Not to earn salvation. After a person is saved, they're supposed to live an obedient life. And many, many, many who profess the name of Christ live a disobedient life. They're more concerned with the things of the world and than they are the things of God. And they're Sunday Christians, as I mentioned before.
Well, let's take some listener emails. We have an anonymous listener who says, I am remaining anonymous because I am in disagreement with many in leadership in my own congregation where I am a member over some of the things we are addressing. But isn't it true that if you go back to one of the points Brother Barnard made about making the gate broader than God has made it, this would definitely include those who are ecumenists, even amongst Reformed Christians, who seem to think that the dogmatic gospel of Rome declared at the Council of Trent is not serious enough in its falsehood for us to break complete and all fellowship with them. It has become an increasingly troubling fact that more and more scholars I hear in the media, even from amongst we who are Calvinists, have been highly regarding men of the past and present from the Church of Rome as if they are our brothers in Christ, and even if they adhere to and agree with the false and damning gospel of Trent. So would you agree that ecumenism is one of the things that would be, as the listener said, a part of Brother Barnard's warning about making the road to eternal life broader than God has made it?
Sure. Sure. When you bring in false gospels and add them to a true gospel or dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ with false teachings, then you're making the way broader than Christ did. Absolutely.
Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, wants to know, how do you respond to those listening who will accuse Brother Barnard and all who agree with him on this sermon that we are making it harder to get into heaven than Jesus Christ himself has made it? In fact, it seems to be, on one hand, very easy, as we see from the tax collector in the temple that Jesus mentions, who merely bowed his head, beat his breast, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Well, look at the state of this man. We aren't giving any background of this man other than the contrast we see of the Pharisee and the repentant man in the temple. He had genuinely repented. How many people go around beating on their breasts and basically weeping and crying out to God? Obviously, the man had repented. So he knew about his sin. He understood that his sin was very serious thing, serious enough that he was beating on his breast and crying out to God. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about repentance. We've been talking about humbling of the soul by God. This man was broken, and he fits exactly with what we've been discussing.
Amen. We have to repeat that when Brother Barnard was talking about it being difficult to get into heaven, he was not talking about earning or meriting salvation at all.
No.
These are signs that somebody has received a new heart from God. It's not earning brownie points or earning some kind of a one-way ticket into heaven by demonstrating these things. They're evidences that somebody has been transformed by God.
Living an obedient life is an evidence that your life has been changed.
Amen. And that's something that is so clearly understood from the plain reading of Scripture that to come up with another idea, you would have to be eisegeting and importing things into the Bible that are not there. Well, we are out of time, brother. And how do our listeners get a hold of this CD of Brother Barnard's sermon, and can they also get it in an MP3 form or other ways?
We have it in CD form at International Outreach, and I have the CDs right there on the shelf and can pack them up and ship them out. You can find our pricing structure online. If you just click in the upper left column after you get to intoutreach.org, up in the left corner, there's an online catalog, and you can go there and see all of the books that we have, including this CD. And all you have to do is click on order, and you'll be taken to our store, and there you can order what you want. And this CD is one of the things you can order. So,
well, Brother Nichols, it's been a rich pleasure having you back on the program. I look forward to you returning to the program again, and I will send your greetings to our mutual friend, Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books, when he comes on to be my guest during the second half of the program.
Yes, I know Mike, and he's a good man.
Amen. Well, God bless you, brother, and thanks for doing such an excellent job as a guest today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
God bless. And don't go away, folks, because as I mentioned, Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books is going to be our guest for the second half of the program. And if you have a question on the best in Christian literature recommended as Christmas gifts, send in your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mike Gadosh after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books should be joining us any second now. That would be Mike Gaidosh, the founder and president of solid-ground-books.com. But before I introduce Mike Gaidosh to the program, I just have some important announcements to make. First of all, please remember solid-ground-books.com for all your Christmas gift-giving needs and gifts for any reason and occasion. They not only publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. But they also support this program. Now, I would never suggest that you only support an advertiser because they support this program, but it just so happens that you would be never going wrong purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, and you will be greatly edified by replenishing your own library, and you will be greatly blessing the lives of others for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com. So why not do both things and also support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by purchasing as many books as you can afford to purchase, especially during this Christmas season, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I go to Mike, we have some other important announcements to make. First of all, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and then click to donate now. You will be able to donate instantly through a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check the old-fashioned way to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. The other way you can help us is by advertising. And I'm sorry if I seem distracted. I'm getting bombarded by emails in Texas right now. You can also support us by advertising with us by sending us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what we believe, you can also send me that email, and I will definitely help you launch an ad campaign if that's the case, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, please never give your own church less money to bless us with a financial gift. That is less money than you're normally giving them. Your own church where you are a member, that is. Because Iron Sharp and Zion Radio greatly values the local pastor and the local church, and it's a biblical command to support your church where you are a member. Also, if you're really struggling to survive financially, wait till you're back on your feet and more capable of giving us a financial gift. The other command in the scriptures regarding your finances is providing for your family. So please don't violate either of those commands by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. But if you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial matters, please, if you love this show and don't want us to go away, share some of that money with us by going to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe and may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many people all over the world in our audience, sometimes within just a few minutes of where they live. So send me an email if that is your predicament. You don't have a biblically faithful church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send a question to Mike Gadosh regarding the best in Christian literature as book recommendations or as gift recommendations for the Christmas season. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, Mike Gadosh.
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well by the grace and mercy of God.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you fine, brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you as well.
Great. Tell us about some of the things that immediately come to mind that you think would be ideal for Christmas gifts for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio.
Well, I think there are two things that came to mind as I was considering this. One would have to do with meditations on the incarnation, focusing upon the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ into the world to save sinners. And I have several that I would recommend. I've been actually advertising these for my email recipients, and one of the ones that I'm most excited about is entitled "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, Experiencing the Peace and Promise of Christmas," edited by Nancy Guthrie. And this is an Advent meditations. She's selected from the following authors, former pastors, evangelists, men like George Whitfield, Martin Luther, Martin Lloyd-Jones, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Spurgeon, St. Augustine, Packer, Calvin, some modern writers like MacArthur, Francis Schaeffer, J.C. Ryle from the 1800s, James Montgomery Boyce, R.C. Sproul, R. Kent Hughes, Johnny Erickson Tada, covering subjects like contemplating Christmas, gifts of the Christmas season, The Great Fulfillment by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Just a tremendous, tremendous articles. They're all fairly brief and well selected. It's a nice hardcover volume, and it would make a wonderful gift. It also would be a great book for a family to use as they are preparing for the Christmas season. A couple of others along that line are by what I call them my favorite living author, and that is Sinclair Ferguson. There are two books that he has done on the Advent. One is entitled "The Dawn of Redeeming Grace: Daily Devotions for Advent," and in that particular book, he expounds on Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and has 25, I believe, lessons that you can walk through to prepare for the coming of Christmas. And then a second one that he has done is entitled "Love Came Down at Christmas," and that is taken from a beautiful hymn that was written many years ago, "Love Came Down at Christmas," and as always, Ferguson just does a masterful job, and that particular book is quite unique in that it's an exposition of 1 Corinthians 13, focus on the love of Christ. Love Came Down at Christmas, daily Advent readings. And so those are a couple of books, or a few books, that focus particularly on the Christmas season that I think would be helpful. John Piper has also done a couple of books on the also on Advent, 25 devotional readings for Advent. One is a nice, very nice little hardcover book that's entitled Good News of Great Joy. And there again, once you have brief, they're very nice brief readings going through various passages of Scripture. The Final Reality is here from Hebrews 8, 1 and 2 and verse 5. Life and Death at Christmas, John 10, 10. The Birth of the Ancient of Days, John 18, 37. In order that you may believe, you know where that's taken from, Chris. That you may believe, that's the very reason why John tells us he wrote his gospel in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Many other signs that Jesus did that are not recorded in this gospel, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And believing, you may have life in his name. And so you have that one by John Piper, and then another small paperback by Piper entitled The Dawning of Indestructible Joy, Daily Readings for the Advent. And at the end of that, his prayer is, my prayer for you this Christmas, that you would experience the fullness of Christ, that you would know in your heart the outpouring of grace upon grace, that the glory of the only Son from the Father would shine into your hearts, and that you'd be amazed that Christ can be so real to you. So those are a sampling of some books that I think could be useful for your own families, as well as to give as gifts. Now would be the perfect time to get it, because they could have it in time for December 1st, and most of the readings are set to be read one day at a time, culminating in December 25th. And obviously we want to say that we understand, Chris and I both understand, that December 25th is not actually the day that we know for sure that Jesus Christ was born. And we also know that the Scriptures do not declare that this is something that we should be doing, is necessarily celebrating the birth of Christ. And we know as well that, sadly, this time of the year has become so terribly commercialized that that Christ is almost completely pushed aside from Christmas. And I remember seeing there was one of those little cartoons, you probably saw this, Chris, where a neighbor had, you know, everybody in the neighborhood had all the lights up and Santa Claus and all the various things, and another, one of the families on the block had just a scene with Mary and Joseph and the babe and the cattle in the manger. And one of the neighbors looks at the other and says, yeah, some people just turn everything into religion. And, you know, here is the birth of Christ being celebrated, and yet people want to celebrate Christmas without even having any reference whatsoever with Christ.
Well, we have a listener in Orange, New Jersey. His name is Joseph. And he says, may I give a couple of recommendations for books that would make great Christmas gifts? Remembering Your Creator by Matthew Mead. He is most well known for a book currently in print from International Outreach, The Almost Christian Discovered. This would help promote godliness, especially in the lives of young believers. And The Doctrine of Man's Future Eternity by John Jackson. This book has a strong evangelistic thrust concerning the soul of man and its future state. He is wondering, our guest, if you've heard of these and if you offer these.
The Matthew Mead, I'm familiar with. I'm not really familiar with the second book. Is the author? I don't know. Is the author a modern author, or is this an older writer?
I have no idea. So, if you're still listening, John, please. Oh, Joseph, I'm sorry. Joseph in Orange, New Jersey, if you're still listening, if you want to clarify with a follow-up email, that would be helpful. His second question, although the first wasn't really a question, His question is, what does Pastor Gadosh think of A.W. Pink's book on Christology, The Excellencies of Christ? Is there a book that gives a better summary statement on the person of Christ than Pink's work? And I'm wondering if that's a rhetorical question. But if you know anything about this book, do you have a...
I don't know that I'm familiar with that work by Pink. And Pink generally is very sound. When you're focusing on the person of Christ, the person and work of Christ, I mean, I always have a tendency to lean towards Benjamin Warfield. He has a work entitled The Person and Work of Christ, which is outstanding. He also did a book that I published entitled The Lord of Glory. And The Lord of Glory is really a defense of the deity of Christ by an exposition walking through the various books in the New Testament. And that is a very, very helpful book regarding the person of Christ. I know that Pink's works are generally considered very sound. And so I know that recently, in fact, there's been a new publication of the unabridged edition of A.W. Pink's book, The Sovereignty of God, that I'm offering now. It's a very nice hardcover volume. It's the full unabridged edition. Banner of Truth inexplicably removed a significant amount of material from Pink's Sovereignty of God, and I think their edition is a smaller paperback of about 180 pages. The one that I'm selling now is well over 300 pages. And so if somebody wants to be able to come face-to-face with the actual complete work of A.W. Pink on the Sovereignty of God, we have that available right now. But anyway, that's my initial off the top of my head response.
Joseph, I think you may be a first-time questioner. Joseph in Orange, New Jersey, and if that is the case, you have won a new American Standard Bible. So please give us your full mailing address in Orange, New Jersey, so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship that out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. And we also want to thank, obviously, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for generously offering all of our first-time questioners in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience new, free, new American Standard Bibles at no cost to you and to us. We have an anonymous listener who says, during the holidays, obviously it can be more heartbreaking than joyful, as it has been with me due to the loss of loved ones. Do you have anything that would be a perfect gift for someone such as myself, and I'm sure countless others listening, who have experienced tragedy in their lives, which is only heightened during these holidays when we are missing those that we cherish?
Yeah, that's an incredibly important question, and I think the issue of dealing with suffering and loss is one that is a constant in the way that we deal with suffering right now. I have several books that I have been offering recently that address those issues, the issues of suffering. There's one entitled Suffering Wisely and Well, The Grief of Job and the Grace of God by Eric Ortlund. There's another entitled When the Stars Disappear, Help and Hope from Stories of Suffering in the Scripture by Mark Talbot.
Yes, and I interviewed Mark just a few weeks ago.
That's right. I remember. I think I might have had something to do with it. And there's also one called Therefore I Have Hope, 12 Truths That Comfort, Sustain, and Redeem in Tragedy by Cameron Cole. Therefore I Have Hope. And that is an excellent, excellent book by Cameron Cole, and he serves as director of Children, Youth, and Family Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. That book has has actually received awards for its ministry to the hearts of broken hearts. And I think that there are several. We also have another entitled Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy by Mark Vrogop, Discovering the Grace of Lament, Dark Clouds and Deep Mercy. There's also another one, Trusting God in the Darkness, and that's by Christopher Ashe. Those are just some books that I would encourage people to read. I think also, obviously, the Book of Psalms is a place to spend time when you've been going through difficult times. The Book of Psalms, as Calvin said, every emotion that a person feels is found laid out in the Book of Psalms. The psalmist, of course, experienced everything that we experience. And so I would always recommend spending time in the Book of Psalms and finding even the Treasury of David by Spurgeon. If you can get a set of the Treasury of David, or even go online and try to find the Treasury of David by Spurgeon, because what he does there is he not only exposits every one of the Psalms, but he also goes through hundreds of commentaries, and he draws the very best comments on every single verse of the 150 Psalms. It's a magnificent volume that I don't think enough people are aware of. It's entitled The Treasury of David. And having that Treasury of David is almost like having a library of commentaries on the Book of Psalms. And Spurgeon has kind of gone through and extracted the very best of the comments on every verse. It is truly a magnificent volume. And any of the Psalms that address the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, Psalm 34 would be a psalm to study and meditate on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He doesn't deliver us from them. He delivers us out of them. And so we will go through those times. We will go through dark times. Psalm 73, Asaph. He knew that God was good, always good, only good, but yet he almost stumbled when he considered the prosperity of the wicked and when he looked at how the righteous appeared to be suffering. And he says, I almost gave up hope, but then I went into the sanctuary of God and I remembered their latter end. And then God restored him. And he ended up, that psalm concludes with some of the most powerful words that have ever been written by man. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on the earth, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Now, I don't know if you published this book, but it is a book that Solid Ground Christian Books offered, and I was wondering if you still have it, going along with that same theme that our listener asked about, books for those who are suffering during the holidays. Songs of Suffering, 25 Hymns and Devotions for Weary Souls by Johnny Erickson Tada.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you remembered that, Chris. That's why we make such a good team. I forget, you remember. And that's exactly right. It's called Songs of Suffering, 25 Hymns and Devotions for Weary Souls, and by Johnny Erickson Tada. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. And I've been surprised. I've sold some of these, but I've not sold anywhere near as many as I thought I would. And it's just such a beautiful book. It's the kind of book that you can give as a gift. You can get it for yourself as well. And it's really fairly inexpensive compared to how beautiful a volume it is. Hardcover, it has it has photographs, colored photographs. It also has every one of the hymns. It has the, not only the words, but it has the actual music as well. So just a wonderful, wonderful book, Songs of Suffering, 25 Hymns and Devotions for Weary Souls. And obviously that is a book very much needed. And because, as a matter of fact, hymns are truly a balm for the soul. One of the things that you need to do when you're going through these dark times is to sing, and then to listen to music that will lift your spirits and will bring you face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing to do at this time of the year. Of course, there are so many wonderful Christmas songs that sing about the coming of Christ into the world. Some of the new ones, Love Came Down at Christmas, I don't think is really a new one, but it's been recently redone. And, of course, one of my favorite is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and many, many, many of the old hymns are just magnificent. O Come, Emmanuel, and on and on and on.
We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, what are some of the best-selling books year after year that have been either published for the first time or brought back into print by Solid Ground Christian Books?
Well, I think obviously the book that everybody always speaks about is Pastor's Sketches by Ichabod Spencer. Pastor Spencer was a pastor in the middle 1800s, actually. He began his pastoral ministry in the late 1820s and then lived and ministered up until 1854 when he died, and he was pastor of the church in Brooklyn, Presbyterian Church in Brooklyn, and he was the pastor of Northampton, the church in Northampton, Massachusetts, the very church that Jonathan Edwards pastored, God used him mightily there, and Pastor's Sketches is just an unbelievable book where he describes in these two volumes that have now been made into one volume, 77 different chapters covering the way that he dealt with people who were going through just an incredible number of different circumstances. And Pastor's Sketches is one. Another is the Counsels and Thoughts on the Spiritual Life of Believers by Thomas More, which I published over a year ago, almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah, that was an amazing discovery.
Yeah, it really was. And it was a friend of mine who had discovered him through a devotional that had been published by a Scottish magazine a couple years ago. And nobody knew who the man was, who Thomas More was. And Tom Nettles made the discovery when he was at the Metropolitan Tabernacle doing some research on a book he was writing on Spurgeon, and he found out, literally by accident, that Thomas More had been an elder alongside of Spurgeon for over 20 years. And one of his main responsibilities was interviewing prospective members and hearing their testimonies. And he had to record them, listen to them, record them, and in some cases would seek to minister to them if they were not real clear about their own understanding of the gospel. And he wrote this book later in life after all of his years of experience under the ministry of Spurgeon. And the book Thoughts and Counsels is just an amazing book. Those are the first two that come to my mind.
Let's see here. Beebe in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, do you have any books that you can recommend either for children to read themselves or to be read to by their parents or grandparents?
Yeah, I have a lot of children's books that I have published that are just outstanding. I've got a series that was done by Thomas Gallaudet. Thomas Gallaudet was the father of deaf education in America, and he wrote a book titled The Child's Book on the Fall, The Child's Book on Repentance, The Child's Book on the Soul. His friend Horace Hooker wrote The Child's Book on the Sabbath, and he wrote a book entitled The Youth's Book on Natural Theology. And those five books I've published, they're just outstanding. They can be read by children and also to children. We also have published his books on scripture history, scripture biography, and we have five or six of those. We have six volumes, scripture biography for the young with critical illustrations and practical remarks. Outstanding volumes. Then also Richard Newton. We've published 18 titles by Richard Newton. Spurgeon nicknamed him the Prince of Preachers to the Young. And Newton just had a phenomenal gift of teaching and reaching the hearts of the young. Every month he would have a Sunday sermon in the afternoon that was called Children's Church. But Newton's Children's Church wasn't the kind of children's church that you would think of when you hear that. He actually would have a 40-minute sermon that he would preach to the children. And he ended up, by the end of his ministry, he would have 500 or more children that would sit under his ministry, and he did that for well over 20 years and would do a series of messages, and then when he got done, they would be turned into a book. And books like Bible Promises, Leaves from the Tree of Life, Pebbles from the Brook, Bible Animals, Bible Jewels, Bible Models, Bible Warnings, Heroes of the Early Church, Heroes of the Reformation, just a whole series of 18 books that I've done by Richard Newton. And those are just outstanding books that can be both read to children and read by children, depending on their age.
Well, we have to go to our final break. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, if you do have a question, please send it in as quickly as possible because we are rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back with Mike Gaidosh of Solid Ground Christian Books right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle All-In 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
And tomorrow, make sure you mark your calendar that A.M. Brewster, the voice that you just heard of Truth Love Parent, he is going to be our guest, and he is going to be distinguishing between sinful anger and righteous indignation. But we are now back with Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books. And Mike, before I go to any other listener questions, if you could give us some more recommendations for Christmas gifts.
Yeah, I think that now is the perfect time to give gifts that would be daily devotionals for the next year, for 2023. And I have some excellent daily devotionals books that can be read. In fact, this answers a question that was asked earlier by Joseph about the person of Christ. There's a devotional, readings from classic Christian writers entitled God with Us, 365 devotions on the person and work of Christ. And every day there is a passage of scripture, and then there are quotations from men like John Calvin, Francis Turretin, J.C. Ryle, John Bunyan, B.B. Warfield, Samuel Rutherford, John Owen, Herman Bavinck, Eusebius, Ambrose. It's just an amazing number and variety of little articles that have been written about the person of Christ and then the work of Christ. And so this would be just an excellent tool to be able to use on a daily basis. Also, focusing on the person of Christ, there are two books that go through the Gospels through an entire year, one reading a day for an entire year, walking through all four Gospels. One is a book that I published entitled Come Ye Apart, A Daily Devotional Journey Through the Four Gospels by J.R. Miller. J.R. Miller was just a phenomenal writer. Pastor Bill Shishko wrote, if any 19th century American writer warrants reprinting, it is J.R. Miller. His writing style is delightfully smooth, his insights are spiritual diamonds on every page, and his pastoral applications are delivered with the skill of a well-seasoned physician of souls. That book, Coming Apart by J.R. Miller, would make a great, great gift. And then right alongside of that on the Gospels, daily readings from all four Gospels for morning and evening by J.C. Ryle, compiled by Robert Sheehan. And what he has done, Sheehan has gone through the expository thoughts on the Gospels that is a marvelous work by J.C. Ryle, and he has gone through and just put together a tremendous volume that walks you through all four Gospels, and the readings are all taken from the writings of J.C. Ryle. And then there's also Walking with God Day by Day, 365 devotional selections from the writings of Martin Lloyd-Jones, and another called The Promises of God by Charles Spurgeon, revised and updated by Tim Chester. And again, this is a new edition of a classic devotion, daily devotion, focused on the promises of God by Spurgeon. And then, of course, there's Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. There's a new edition that's been done by Alistair Begg, revised and updated, Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. It's just excellent, excellent material. Just anything that you can do to make sure that you're spending time every day with the Lord, these tools would be very valuable, and it's a great introduction to people who maybe have no idea what to do. They want to maybe begin to do daily devotions but don't know where to start. Well, any one of these volumes would be helpful for a person to begin to have the discipline of rising in the morning and having a specific passage to go to, and then having some comments that are made by a sound and gifted writer to be able to lead you before the throne of grace.
Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, asks, what are your highest recommendations for books to give to those whom you love who are lost.
Yeah, those, once again, that is one of the more challenging things. And, of course, there is really no simple answer to that because it really depends on so many factors. Sometimes the best book that you can give to somebody is a book that would simply introduce them to the basic things that are found in the gospel. Sometimes it could be a daily devotional book that has a short devotional studies. I know that there is a book that I published by Peter Jeffrey that you obviously would remember this, Chris. It's called Seeking God. And it's an outstanding little booklet that could be given to you. Do you really want to know God? Are you seeking Him? And Peter goes through and does just a masterful job of laying out the condition of people and reasons why people seek God. That's a very helpful book. Another one recently that was published by Jeff Thomas, a very dear friend of Chris and I both, Everyone's Invited. Everyone's Invited, and it's Come Unto Me. It's just a wonderful, warm book that speaks to people about the benefits of coming to Christ. To whom is Christ saying, come? It's just a beautiful exposition that could be given to unbelievers. Of course, any book that focuses upon the birth of Christ at Christmas would be a helpful book to be able to give. But because every unbeliever is different, their condition is different, there's no one book that would necessarily, it's like one size fits all, but anything that will bring them face to face with Christ and a faithful exposition of who Jesus is and what he has done. And I would encourage people often, the best thing to do is give people a book that has ministered to your own soul and be able to share with them, knowing the book has ministered to you, that it can minister to them. I know my wife has used the book Stepping Heavenward for many, many years, reaching out to people. And even though the book is like really an evangelistic book per se, it is definitely a book that presents the gospel and does so in a very beautiful, very very winsome way. So that, you know, those are just some ideas that I would give out. But every situation is different, and I would say that a person does need to make sure that whatever they're giving to somebody else, make sure you have read it so you know exactly what it says.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, because if they start asking you questions, the person to whom you have given the gift, they start asking questions about the book, you should be able to answer them, or at least say, yes, I'm familiar with that part of the book, I will ask my pastor or something like that, but at least so you show familiarity with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, as always, it has been an utter joy having you on the program. Mike, I look forward to your frequent returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as a guest, and I thank God for your faithful financial support of this program. Without that help, barring a miracle from God financially, I can't conceive that we would be able to remain on the air. So I want to thank you so much for being so generous and so faithful with that financial support for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
It's my pleasure, Chris, and I appreciate your customers and many of them who I've come to know because of their ordering books from me. Guys like Grady and many others who they always remind me whenever they order. They always mention you, mention your ministry and their appreciation for the fact that I'm trying to help you as little as I can, as much as I can. So God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too. And I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.